Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun and haze capital of the world today. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody to the one and only Scarycast. We've got an explosive and exciting show tonight. We seem to have lots of those. We've already had John Dixon on Tuesday night. He was wonderful, and he's a MUFON, Tennessee MUFON investigator. He will be a speaker at the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. And that's going to be in Burnsville, North Carolina. That's going to be the 17th of June. It's at Burnsville, North Carolina, Burnsville Town Center. Go to ncbigfootconference.com to check it out. Speakers are up there. And we're having a lot of buzz about it now. I mean, people are getting excited up there in Burnsville and throughout the internet world. So I think we're going to have a great, great conference. And we have a couple of the people that are going to be on the program there with us tonight. So first of all, I would like to introduce co-host number one. I feel like it's door number one, door number two. Co-host number one from Ewing, Virginia, Matt Delf. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Doing great. Glad to be here.
Well, that's great. We're glad to have you here. And co-host number two behind door number two from Augusta, Georgia, is Chris Chastain. How are you doing tonight?
Howdy, howdy. I'm doing great. It's my other favorite night of the week.
Darn right it is. We're so glad to have you here. Behind door number three from Houston, Texas, back from vacation. I'm jealous I didn't get a vacation, but that's okay. I still had fun working. The one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Well, I'm doing very well. Now that I'm back, it's time to go back to work. We've got more stuff to do.
That's exactly right. We've got tons of stuff to do. And a surprise guest behind door number four. We have four doors tonight of our four co-hosts. From parts unknown, the mountains of North Carolina, Professor Dr. Brad Mulder. Brad, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful, my friend. How about yourself? And I am honored and pleased to be on tonight as well.
You're behind door number four. That's right. Well, you know, I'm going to start with you tonight because I was in an extremely good mood today. We got a lot of publicity, a lot of great press for the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. It is all over the internet, all over Facebook. And I was just all pumped, had a great day at work as well. So I was listening to my favorite thing, which is rock and roll. So the first thing that I turned on is, The first thing that I turned on was, of course, the greatest song of all time in rock and roll. If you don't agree with me, sorry. That is Hound Dog by Elvis Presley. Does everybody like Hound Dog?
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Huge Elvis fan.
And you know what? If you listen to Elvis Presley today, he is as fresh and exciting as he was in 1954. He was one incredible entertainer, just, you know, nobody like him. So I listened to that. Then the next thing that I listened to, well, the second rock and roll song that always comes up on my Facebook playlist is Stay With Me by Rod Stewart and Faces. And I just believe that that old British rock and roll stuff is my favorite. And it just, it knows that doesn't matter what I play, the second song is going to be Stay With Me by Faces. So anyway, then I said, there's a song I haven't heard in a long, long time, and I love it. I love the opening guitar riff. It's one of the most distinctive and famous in all of rock and roll history, and that is the song Lola by the Kinks. Now, I'm going to take a poll. Brad Mulder, do you remember that song, Lola by the Kinks?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Great. Matt Delf, do you remember the song Lola by the Kinks?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay, that's all right. You listen to lots of country, so if we ask something about country gold, you would know the answer. All right, Chris Chastain, do you remember that song?
John, I failed the assignment. I don't.
That's okay. Kyler Smith, do you know and or remember the song Lola by Ray Davies and the Kinks?
I have to hear it because off the top of my head, no, it doesn't sound very familiar.
Okay, that's fine. Well, here's the deal. I fell in love with that song. I grew up during the British invasion, and that's all I listened to was British rock and roll for quite a while. And got to college, and I met a lot of like-minded friends that loved British rock, and we listened to it. And there was a line in there, drink champagne, tastes just like cherry cola. And what we did is we went out and we got cherry Coca-Cola, and we got cheap champagne and mixed it together. And I'm going to tell you something. You talk about a really great drink that rivals beer. Cherry cola and champagne. And I remember that well, and it was in honor of Ray Davies and the Kinks. So today I was listening to it. I found the official remix version of it, and I put it on, and it said, drink champagne, tastes just like Coca-Cola. And I stopped. I said, what on earth is that? This thing came out in the mid-'80s before companies allowed the entertainment business to license their names. And I just found an awful Mandela effect that just robbed me of so many memories that I had. And I went to like five or six different websites, heard different versions of it, and they all said tastes just like Coca-Cola. So then the first person I call, when it's a Mandela effect, my go-to guy is Dr. Professor Mulder. So I called you up, didn't I, Professor Mulder?
Yes, you did. And you seemed very enthusiastic.
And you said, this is the third time you called expecting probably something bad, and you got it. I said, they've robbed me of my childhood. I said, what? I said, it tastes just like. And what did you say?
I said Coca-Cola.
And you know what? Apparently a lot of people say that, but I remember the song very well. I remember we made champagne and cherry Coke to get that flavor, and it was so good. We drank it for about a year, like our freshman year. We all drank that a lot. So, I mean, I know what I went through. It's like when I was visiting a client's house, I sell life insurance, and we were sitting in her living room, and I heard on the television station, they announced that Dr. Billy Graham had died. I said, oh, well, I know he was older. Except that Dr. Billy Graham lived about three more years after that. And I heard a television announcement of that. That's another Mandela effect. When you hear something or see something or remember something that is different than what it is now, that is a Mandela effect. Is that Professor Mulder, since you're kind of know a lot about it, is that the correct way to define it?
I would say that is a good way, yes.
All right. Now I want to go around the room. I want to start with, I'm going to start with Chris Chastain. Then I'm going to go to Matt Delf. Then I'm going to go to Kyler Smith. And I'm going to see, what have you noticed seem to have changed? Chris Chastain, what do you think?
So I know that this is a really popular one, and I think I mentioned it last time we brought it up, and then I've got another one. But the Berenstain Bears is my favorite one, and I always remember it as Berenstain Bears. But at some point, I don't know, at some point I guess we had a full moon and our reality shifted, and now we also have the Berenstain Bears. So I don't know. I don't know when that happened. It's mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. The other
you know
one...
Chris, stop.
Say,
you know what you grew up with, right? You know what you grew up
absolutely.
With, right?
Yeah, because my sister and I, we watched them religiously all the time.
Okay. All right, well, you know what you know. All right, what's the
exactly.
next new one that you've got?
So, and I haven't asked other people about this, but I was a big fan of Titanic before the movie came out back in, oh, what was it, 1997, I think. And, but I've always been into the story, you know, the ship, the history, all of that good stuff. But, a year ago, I caught COVID when, I went out of town for work, and I went and stayed in a hotel because Shannon's got really bad asthma, and I was watching Titanic. It came on, and this whole Mandela thing, I had heard of it, and it kind of smacked me in the face. So there's a scene in the movie where the Rose, the main character, she's talking to her mother, and, you know, she's telling her, you know, she has to be in this kind of like the arranged marriage almost with the man that she doesn't love. Anyways, you know, and she says it's not fair, and her mother says, and this is what I remember all the way back from 1997 when it came out. I remember her mother saying, of course it's not fair. We're women. Our choices will never mean anything. But if you go watch the movie, or at least, you know, when it was on a year ago, it's, of course it's not. We're women. Our choices are never easy. But I know what I remember. So now you can all go watch Titanic and tell me.
Right.
All
and,
3
you know,
hours of
we remember,
it.
We remember what we remember. We have our experiences. They are ours. They're personal. But what's interesting about this, tastes just like Coca-Cola, it's like it's trying to force itself into my head. And I keep hearing it over and over again. All right, Matt Delph, next.
Yeah, of course the one that stands out to me most famous is, like Chris said, the Berenstain Bears. I always remember as Berenstain. I've got stuff that I'm pretty sure it's got Stein written on it, but that could have been people trying to fight the Mandela effect. But I never remember it being Berenstain. But just most recently, one of the things. Do you guys remember the movie Risky Business with Tom Cruise?
And who can forget?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, who can forget Risky Business? What a great film.
Well, in that movie, he has on the black sunglasses, and he's dancing around the house and like a T-shirt and sliding around in his socks and stuff. But now he does not have those black sunglasses on.
What?
And I fully remember him wearing black sunglasses.
Oh, my gosh. I have never seen that movie, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and he most definitely did have the sunglasses.
Well, there's
but
another problem with
not.
That is that he now has a pink shirt on, and he had a white shirt on when he did the film.
I thought it was white, too.
It was white. No,
I'm not sure. I'm colorblind, so... It's just a shirt to me, but the
Matt,
sunglasses
Matt,
was
the,
definitely.
Matt, are you the one that said you're colorblind?
Yes.
Well, we're glad you can still see Bigfoot. Okay.
There you go. That's all that matters. But that was the most famous here recently, one that I had really noticed.
That's amazing. That's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up because these things are important. Professor Mulder, let me ask you something. Do you keep a written list of all the...
Not really. I just have them in my head for the most part. Like I said, my go-to movie, if you want to talk about changes in films, I think we discussed this several shows ago about The Wizard of Oz, how I remember distinctly that the Tin Man was carrying an axe, okay, and that the Scarecrow really wasn't carrying anything, all right? But in this reality, the way it is now, the Tin Man is carrying a large pipe wrench, okay? And I remember that axe so distinctly because that's what he used to chop down the door of the witch's castle because he was trying to, you know, they were going in to save Dorothy, if memory serves, and he was using an axe to chop down the door. So that's how I remember that. And I do remember him using an axe because he was a woodsman.
I'm sorry. Hold on a minute. The Wizard of Oz that I remember, nobody ever chopped down a door, buddy. Once Dorothy was there, she was there. Oh my God, that scene is not in the Wizard of Oz that I know. Nobody chops down a door.
I could have sworn it's the Wicked Witch, and they were. Yeah, I could have sworn it. I have the film here on my computer because I wanted to go through it just to look for, you know, for the changes because we were discussing them the other night, and I just wanted to have it there just for, you know, for my own records. And I do distinctly remember that the Tin Man was chopping down or trying to break into the door of the Evil Witch's castle to save Dorothy, if memory serves. And, but, you know, that's just my memory. But the thing that really gets me now is that
it's your memory.
Ahead.
Please continue. No, please continue. It's your memory.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing I remember was that the Scarecrow, really, he wasn't carrying anything, okay? But now he has a revolver. He's carrying a gun. You know, I like to know how in the heck does a Scarecrow get a revolver? But neither here nor there, he has a gun now.
Right, but the fact is Dorothy went to the Wicked Witch's castle before she met these guys.
No.
At least in my recollection, in my recollections.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, we've got kind of a jumbled up mess. I tell you what I'm going to do. In honor of you and Dorothy and L. Frank Baum, I'm going to get Marshall Biddle, the Attorney General of ScaryCast, to come on here because he has got all six first editions of the Oz books. And I'm going to have him tell us what's in the first editions now. So, Dr. Mulder, would you like to be on that show when he tells us what's really in the book?
I would love it.
Okay, well, I'll tell him tomorrow. He's looking forward to meeting you up in Burnsville. All right, well, that's cool.
Same here.
All right, now, I want to make sure that we get to Kyler Smith. What Mandela effect have you come across or do you think is rather a wicked thing?
The only one I can remember immediately is probably the Monopoly guy. Now, I always remember him as a kid having that little monocle in his hand or on his eye, and it's not there anymore. So I remember it being there. I don't know if you guys do or not, but, yeah, it's definitely not there anymore.
Sure. Do you know why it was
there? Definitely do.
Do you know why the monocle was there? There's a specific reason that was put there, because Mr. Moneybags is J.P. Morgan, the great banker and, you know, the man that was the greatest financier of all time. And J.P. Morgan wore a monocle. That was his trademark and signature item. The fact that it's missing now is very telling. No, I mean, I know this for a fact because I've studied J.P. Morgan a little bit. He was quite the man, I tell you what. But the whole point is, it was there, as far as I know. All right? So, all right, we've done Titanic. We've done, okay, Professor Mulder, yours was Wizard of Oz. And I don't even remember that. I don't even remember that. Because I've seen Wizard of Oz a number of times, but that's okay. So, Chris, Matt Delf, we've talked with yours, so we've talked with everybody. The Mandela effect is running rampant. Now, Professor Mulder, do you feel comfortable discussing briefly with us before we move to another topic? Because we're going to start designating Thursday night as call-in night, which means we're going to have lots of topics. Can you tell us the correlation between the beginning of the Mandela effects, 2000, and the beginning of a scientific organization and their research? Do you mind sharing that with us?
From what I was told, that things started going a little wonky in this reality around during the CERN experiments. I think it was around I heard the CERN's experiments, and also I heard about the Mayan calendar, you know, being 2012. But everybody I've talked to, and I've talked to people who basically have photographic memories, and they say, you know, even they confirm with me that some of these things that are going on, it's not the way they remember them. And these guys, I mean, they're like walking tape recorders. You can have a conversation with them, and they can repeat the conversation word for word. That's how sharp their memories are. I've heard one person say that they noticed this around 2012, 2013, somewhere in that neighborhood, and other people have noticed this even earlier, like around 2007, 2009. That's when they started seeing things change. So I have no idea what the correlation would be between the two, but I've heard two different theories: Mayan calendar, end of the Earth, or end of the universe as we know it. And also CERN, where supposedly they turned on the experiment, and basically we became a black hole. And because reality insists that we exist, we suddenly reappear, and we're like basically going through a time loop. We're just constantly going through this event over and over again, and as we do, things start to change. I mean,
right.
it's so wonky. I don't have an answer.
Well, what I was told is that we were latched on to the closest time stream near us. That's why there are lots of things that are alike and lots are different. One is, you know, the Panama Canal was east-west, now it's north-south, which makes absolutely no sense. And it's like a lot of these changes seem to happen in June of 2012. And that's what I noticed. And it was like I woke up one morning and everything was kind of different. But I didn't really, you know, think much about it. So anyway, it has to do with approximately 2000 and the CERN experiments. And we can, and Professor Mulder, we can talk more about this offline, and we can probably come up with some more instances. But this Mandela effect thing, I know it doesn't really bother you. Well, it does kind of bother me because I lost the cherry cola from Lola, one of my favorite songs. No, and I mean, you know, I've never had a personal experience wrenched from my life like I did tonight. I mean, it's like, I mean, I heard lots of people say Chick-fil-A had a K in it, does not have a K, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when I had one of my favorite songs and one of the greatest guitar riffs in history, which opens Lola by the Kinks, everybody needs to go listen to it. It is one of the greatest moments in rock and roll history. And to have that wrenched from me and my experiences of having drinks with my buddies in college and we mixed cheap champagne and cherry coke, oh my God, it was great. So anyway, does anybody have Chris Chastain? Do you have anything else to add?
Only other one that I didn't realize, and I had Googled just to see, you know, what were some of the others, and this kind of blows my mind too, but the peanut butter that today is known as Jif, I don't know if any of you remember. I remember growing up, we called it Jiffy. I remember it saying Jiffy, J-I-F-F-Y.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're right.
It is not Jiffy anymore. Now, I saw where someone tried to debunk that because the cornbread mix is Jiffy, and that's great. I know about Jiffy, you know, cornbread, but no, this was the peanut butter, same colors, but Jiffy, not Jif. It's crazy.
Absolutely. All right, Matthew Delf, do you have one last one or any comment on this?
I can't. Several, I guess, like he was talking about with the monocle and stuff, the most famous ones. I don't know. This could have just been a cut part, but I remember years ago my friends mentioning whenever, of course, the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High come out, and they were talking about the there's a scene where you see Jennifer Jason Leigh completely nude in that scene, but now you don't, is what they were talking about. And I'm sure something like that, though, they could just cut out of a movie. So I don't know if that would really qualify or not, but I have not gone back to.
It's what you remember and then all that, so that's fine. Listen, Matt, there are no absolutes when you're talking about the Mandela effect. Kyler, do you have anything else to add that you'd like to add before we move to another topic?
I'm kind of bouncing back and forth from trying to figure out if it's this Mandela effect or alternate realities or just like a marketing switch. Like, I feel like in the back of my head, it just feels like, well, I mean, people do this, not people, businesses do this to make more money. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just decided to switch it and erase everything from the past. I mean, that's happened many times. So I don't know. I'm bouncing back and forth from all this.
Okay. Well, there we go. And it's good that we talked about this, and we've had Professor Mulder here with us because he knows quite a bit about the Mandela effect. And I've had it happen to me all the time, but the craziest thing was tonight when Lola and her boyfriend were drinking champagne, and it tasted just like Coca-Cola. It didn't. It tasted like cherry cola. Well, look, thanks a lot for everybody. That's the bottom of the hour, and we want to say thank you very much to Transamerica Life Insurance Company for keeping us on the air. They do a great job. They help protect Americans. They protected millions of us since their inception in 1908. Thank you, Transamerica, for keeping ScaryCast online. You're the best. All right, now, Matt Delf, you are going to pick the next topic because we were going to talk about one with you. So what is your topic that you would like for us to talk about next?
I guess you could time travel in the people slipping time travelers, for example, people disappearing. And then, for example, I believe it's 1950 New York. Is it parallel universes overlapping? Is that causing Mandela effect? But, and I believe it's 1950s, there was a New York man that had appeared in the middle of downtown New York and got hit by a car, by a cab driver, and he was from the 1800s. They had his ID and everything. His money was from the 1800s, his clothes from stores that was in New York that had actually they had actually been purchased by stores there in downtown New York City, and the stores had been closed for so many years but his clothes were brand new that he had on, and they go back and they just, cab driver said he just appeared out of nowhere and he hits him and it kills him. Well, they go back and they look through history and they contact people that were related to him, and his son had already passed away, but he had a grandson, and they contact him, and he said his grandpa, only thing he knew about his grandfather was he went missing. He went out for a walk in like 1870s, went out for a walk and just never came back. He was a missing person report. And then they bring it back, and it's him, and he's reappeared, and the FBI have closed the missing person case. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And it kind of goes along with the whole Mandela effect. Maybe if these timelines are overlapping, you're slipping into different parallel universes, different consciousness, different levels, if that makes any sense.
Professor Mulder, what do you think about that? That this is kind of a good topic, Matt.
Well, when it comes to time travel, I think, you know, the last show we did, which I thought was just a fantastic show, you know, we were discussing radionics, and I think I brought up the question, okay, is there any way we could change the past in order to change the present and the future? And then we had Mobius, who came on the air, and he started talking, I think it was retrocausality, I think it was the word that he used to describe to describe this very phenomena, this very same phenomena. And apparently there were a couple of experiments in quantum mechanics, along with, I think, it was either a priest or somebody who was working in conjunction with a hospital to see if he could change the death rate of the hospital, proactively. And I'm just like, okay, this is interesting. And apparently there was some actual changes and some really, you know, excellent results as, you know, as a result of that experiment. So my question is, what is time? Does time really exist, or is it just something that man came up with so we could measure, you know, the workday? You know, really, where does time actually play a part? And I've heard another thing. This is, as Mobius would say, this is the wild card. A gentleman that I listen to a lot, and apparently this has been verified, or this is phenomena, the way reality works, that reality operates at a frequency rate of 22 trillion times a second. In other words, we are on and off 22 trillion times a second, and as a result of that, that's what gives us movement. That's the reason why we're able to go from, you know, from matter to change, is because of that frequency. And I've brought up the point that, well, if this reality that we're living in is blinking on and off 22 trillion times a second, that means that half of our life we do not physically exist.
That makes sense.
Sorted out there. Yeah. And I'm really, you know, this entire phenomena, or this idea that we're talking about right now, fascinates me, because that's what it's all about, is change. I mean, how in the heck, you know, you and I, we've had many conversations concerning changes in the Bible, especially King James Version. I think that has probably the most changes of any version out there. And we're talking, how in the heck can something change physically on the paper, on the page of a Bible? But not only does it change on the Bible that you may have in your nightstand, or that may be on the shelf of the family Bible from 150 years ago, or even the original King James Version from 1611, how can all of these have the very same changes and simultaneously, and, you know, physically change on the page? Because I know for a fact, the Lord's Prayer, when I had to memorize this because a woman paid me $1 to memorize it, I remember the line in it was, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Now it says, mm-hmm. "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive debtors. Our debtors." And I remember another famous line, when two, you know, I don't know, but I think everybody, I'm not sure if we did this before, but I remember this. It's a very famous verse, okay? And Jesus says this, "When two or blank gather in my name, two or blank gather in my name." What was the blank? What does everybody remember?
The blank
two or more.
Two or more gathering money.
Okay. Now it says two or three.
Hmm.
Yeah, no.
Now we're
and I don't care what we're how. Huh?
What is that verse?
I think it's you are asking the wrong person.
Is that Isaiah?
I don't think it's Isaiah.
Okay, well then we're gonna find it right now. That's
yes,
what
look,
the intranet is for.
It's,
you got it.
It's Matthew 18:20.
Oh, okay.
18:20. No, that's wrong. When two or three gather, not at all.
Mm-mm.
That's
no.
King James
I don't buy it.
Well, when two or three gather, I mean, no. Jesus wanted two or more. If you were not alone, the whole idea of that verse was, if you were not alone, you had power to call on Jesus. As crazy as that sounds, that's what the deal was. Because that, mm-hmm. Do you know what two or more is? Does everybody know what two or more stands for?
I would say a church.
That is a church. Two or more is a church. And that is one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. Two or more is a church.
Oh, yeah. And another thing, too, you'll see unicorn in the Old Testament along with corn, C-O-R-N, corn, as in stalks of corn. That's also in the Bible, in the King James Version especially, multiple times. And what the heck are they writing about corn? Corn is native to the Americas. And I was also informed that parts of Asia may have something similar to corn, but it's nothing like what we have here. Corn is a Native American plant. How
last time I checked,
in the Middle East?
Professor Mulder, last time I checked, corn is indigenous to Mexico.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
So it's the Americas. Exactly. And so now we have it, they're writing about it supposedly in the Old Testament. I don't know how in the heck it got into the Old Testament. I don't know how a bunch of Jews out in the Middle East came up with corn. And then it's interpreted by, people who were scribing the King James Version over in Britain. I don't know how this all came about.
And
unicorn. What the heck is unicorn in the Bible for? And that's in the Old Testament.
What?
Look it up. You can do a word search, unicorn.
Oh, my gosh.
Whenever two or three gather, that is so wrong.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I see it on every translation.
Bet it wasn't there 5 years ago.
That is cray-cray.
Yeah.
No, that was quoted for the whole time I was a kid growing up in church. It was always two or more.
Because Chris
Chastain,
I want to ask you something. Wasn't the meaning of that verse two or more is a church?
That's what I understand, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. That was the whole point of it, is that two or more, when you have two people praying, that is a church. And that is the definition. That is God's definition of a church. That means that when we have four, we in trouble. Is that right, Professor Mulder? When we got four people, we can't do it.
We're a pretty awesome group, though. So you never can tell.
No, but I'm saying, in general, if we have four people, if four people want to get together and pray, but since it's not two or three, then that is outside of the scope of that verse.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. To me, it doesn't make any sense. Why do you want to limit how many people pray and praise your name? And, you know, and follow your, you know, follow your teachings. I mean, how, I don't get it either. I mean, this stuff just, it blows my mind all the time. It really does. And, you know, and again, as I stated earlier, I don't care how old the Bible is, they will all have those changes.
And those changes are since 1985, for sure.
I mean, you can go to the original King James Bible, the original one, from 1611, and it will have the exact same changes.
Dang.
Huh. Matt Dell.
Yes.
What do you think about these Mandela effect changes as a Bigfoot explorer? First of all, I'll ask you a question, and then I want you to talk. Could there be times when you've had experiences, and those experiences could now no longer be valid? That's one problem. Please talk. Please tell us.
Well, I've had, of course, you know, this kind of goes in, I believe a lot of this Mandela effect stuff is timelines are shifting. Our consciousness, we are in this consciousness right now, but yet we have another parallel universe that is going on, but we're not conscious in it. So, and what really brought me to looking into this was whenever I was, I think it was 2020, I was in Cataloochee, North Carolina, and I went down into the valley, and all of a sudden, I'm out, I'm taking pictures, I see some elk, and this is at Christmas time, and I was taking pictures of some elk. I seen a mama bear and a little one. I made a video, and then I looked down at my phone, and the time had changed. And the date had changed to August 24th at like 11:34 p.m., I believe is what the time was. And I felt weird. I started feeling nauseous. I get sick, and I start vomiting. My mom and dad was present, too, because we had actually just ventured off to go look at Christmas lights that weekend and ended up down in Cataloochee Valley. Well, my dad was outside the vehicle. He starts getting sick. My mom stayed in the vehicle. She was taking pictures. She was fine. We leave out of there. We start feeling better. We feel fine. We go back. My mom's pictures are on her phone. But my pictures, where I had taken pictures, weren't, and everybody knows in their gallery, that the whole basically, your gallery is from right as soon as you take it, it's in order by date and time. I go back and I'm looking through, and none of my pictures were on my gallery right there. I had to scroll all the way back to the past, to August 24th, and there they are in my summer timeline in my gallery, these winter pictures of these elk and black bear are in the past. Now that area is well known for what they call feral people in the Smokies. You get these Neanderthal looking type people being reported, being seen there, like they have gone through like the third one down from the evolution chart or whatever. So it's got me thinking a lot of this Mandela effect stuff, these timelines are over shifting, and something is happening. Something is getting caught on one side or the other, or it is completely changing the butterfly effect with the Mandela effect. It's showing everything from the past. It changed over. That's my experience. It really got me looking into it.
Yeah. I have one question for you. Do you remember any of the trees? Were there any trees in the frame with the video if the reason why I'm asking is if you had hardwood trees, if it was during the summer, they'd have leaves on them. If it was during the winter, there would be no leaves.
Correct. There are no leaves on the trees. There's trees in the pictures. I've actually got the photos, and I can take a screenshot of August, and they're right there. And, yeah, it's the winter, the actual pictures that I took there.
Okay.
It went to the past, though, but it is the actual winter pictures in that time frame, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm. Wow.
So, and what was weird was I physically felt sick, and my dad did too. Now, my mom, she was taking picture stuff, and her pictures were fine. My dad's pictures disappeared as well. But his phone jumped an hour ahead, so he lost his. He didn't even find them. It's like they weren't taken.
Wow.
So that got me looking into the whole time overlapping. These universes possibly overlapping, causing some weird effects, a butterfly effect possibly.
About a what?
Like a butterfly effect. So everything as we known from the past, we go back to look now, this consciousness level that we're in now in this universe has completely changed because something shifted over and has we're in a different consciousness where these time frames are overlapping and they get caught up. For example, like when I was there, I was physically sick. What if some of these creatures or people from the past or different dimensions, time era, are getting caught in the shift and that's how they're being seen in that area of the Smokies? It's made me start looking into the whole, the portal, but it's mostly consciousness because time, we all know time, is only existence in the 3D world, our 3D world here. Time is only exist here in our 3D. So if we've got everything going on all at once at all different times, all different frames, but our consciousness levels is stuck in this one channel and you got these other channels veering over into it, we might be slipping over into other channels.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah. I have one question. I wish the Surgeon General was on tonight because I'd love to ask him this question. And that question is, Doctor, where do you remember the kidneys being? That would be the question I would ask him. And matter of fact, for everybody, where do you guys remember the kidneys being located at?
Lower back.
Like around the love handles in that area?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where mine are located.
Well, they used to be. Now they changed position. Because remember boxers, there's like a famous rule, no kidney punches. And the reason why you couldn't throw a kidney punch is because the kidneys were unprotected. Okay, and it caused major organ damage, a punch directly into the kidneys. Well, as of now, the kidneys are relocated, and they are protected by the lower two ribs of the rib cage. You can look it up.
Huh. That's interesting.
Well, Professor Mulder, what about the heart? Tell us about the new location of the heart.
Yes. I remember, like all you guys, whenever we learned how to say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, you always placed your right hand over your left chest, left side of your chest, right? And why did we do that? Because we were taught that's where the heart was at, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, if you look at the heart, it's in center mass. It's directly behind the sternum. It's in line with the sternum and the spinal column. It's in the center of the chest now. And I even distinctly remember this old show, Dr. Welby, M.D., and they had a show about some kid who had a birth defect because his heart was on the wrong side. It was on the right side, not the left side of his chest. And it caused some kind of medical issue, and they made a show out of it, right? But I remember that distinctively. Well, now it doesn't make any sense because the heart is in the center of the chest.
You're talking about Marcus Welby, M.D.
Marcus Welby, yeah, yeah. He had Brolin was his sidekick, and they had a practice, and they did one show about some kid whose heart was on the wrong side of the chest. I remember that distinctively, and now that's not an issue.
So whenever this happened, I wonder if all the Dracula movies got updated accordingly.
Good point. Good point. Good point.
Nothing would surprise me. I'm willing to bet there's probably some Mandela effects in the Dracula movies also.
I'm
just saying.
But now I kind of want to go back and watch Dracula and Bram Stoker's Dracula, House of Dracula. Where exactly did you guys put that steak at?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I tell you, this is a good song. This is something that I'm sure everybody here probably knows. All right, Queen, the song, We Are the Champions. Okay, what was the final line in We Are the Champions?
We are the champions of the world.
Okay, now that's a weird song because now you'll see it sometimes with it and sometimes without of the world. Matter of fact, I saw on YouTube we have Freddie Mercury singing that song live, and he just he says we are the champions and it cuts. That's in the song. He does it live.
No,
he doesn't say
no.
Of
the last phrase is we are the champions, and then he is singing it by himself of the world.
Exactly.
That is
that's the
song. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that song's kind of strange because you can find versions with and without it, and they're like the official version. And I guess it kind of depends on which day you listen to it as to whether or not it has that line in the song. Because that one seems to go back and forth for me. But, yeah, I've seen him, like, in concert, live, and he will not say that last line of the world. He stops at, we are the champions. It's the darnest thing I've ever seen. And
the whole point of the song is, we are the champions of the world.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think you mentioned on a previous show about the California Dreaming by the Mamas and the Papas. And, we all remember that he walks into a church and I began to pray. Okay, now it says I pretend to pray. Oh, the other day I heard I heard another version of that song by another artist and he says I began to pray. But in the actual hit that the Mamas and Papas came out with, if you listen to it now, it says, I pretend to pray.
Now, Professor Mulder, I pretty much remember all of our shows. When on earth did we talk about the Mamas and the Papas?
I think it might have been when you came on as a guest of my show, maybe. I could have sworn it had been on your show. I mean, you and I have done five shows together so far, so it's kind of hard to keep track.
I have never talked about Mamas and Papas ever on a podcast. And this is news to me. It's like I turn on the light downstairs, and then all of a sudden the main light went out. I came up, then it was back on. I did on, off. Everything's fine. It's like we're experiencing real oddness because, I mean, I love California Dreaming. I love that song, and I've probably played it 1,000 times. Wow. And I think we might be in the process of starting to experience localized Mandela effects. There's a good phrase for you, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. What is popped into your reality that you feel, you know, something like, have you seen like a different road sign in the, or some kind of something, has land changed, you know, like a farm, there used to be a farm, now it's an apartment building, that kind of thing? What have you seen that you would say is a Mandela effect?
Okay. Kyler Smith, have you ever had that experience where you saw something and it wasn't right, it was different than the way you thought it was?
I'm sure I have. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I think my thoughts are kind of suppressing some some things like that because it might have scared me as a kid when it happened.
Okay, Chris Chastain, have you seen something that didn't seem right? Because, and I'm going to ask Matt Delf, I've got one. So, Chris Chastain, have you seen anything that didn't seem right?
Yes, actually. What, you just mean in general that didn't seem right?
I'm asking a question. Yeah. You provide the answer.
Okay. So, what comes to mind is I distinctly remember as a kid seeing a fox cross the road. It was running across the road. It was holding onto its tail, and it was running bipedal. It was a fox, a very small fox. I remember it, and I will never, ever forget it. Why in the world? It makes absolutely no sense. But no, that it doesn't seem right.
Okay. Matt, do you have like a landmark or anything that you seem to have seen that didn't seem right?
Well, I strictly remember when I was a kid going with my grandpa to this chicken farm and remember seeing chickens in these vent windows. And I can remember it plain as day because I used to get excited because I'd see these chickens up in these windows and he'd get eggs from this farmer. But then I was told later on, I was like, I remember getting them, and they're like, no, you couldn't have seen those in there because there is fans in those vent windows. It would have chopped the chickens up. I'm like, well, I strictly remember seeing those as a child, and as I got older, I went back and I looked, and they were correct. There's fans in those windows, and they claim they've always been there, but I strictly remember seeing chickens sitting in those windows.
Dang.
Well, you saw what you saw. Right, Professor Mulder?
Yeah, I always say there's no right or wrong answer with this stuff. There really isn't. I've come to the point where nothing surprises me anymore. And I always have I always kid around with a buddy of mine. He's a close follower of politics, and he's always getting upset and whatever. And I tell him, hey, if you don't like this, just wait till tomorrow. It'll be entirely different. I mean, and I keep, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, and I said, it really, that's the way it seems. I mean, our reality just seems to jump all over the place. And, my question is, okay, why is it doing it? Okay. And, you know, and it kind of gets back to the Bible. Why are there changes in the Bible? The Bible is the Holy Scriptures, right? It's the, as we perceive it, is the Holy Word of God. For those who believe in God, this is what most people believe, that follow the Bible, that read the Bible. Now, my question is, why were these changes allowed to happen? Why were, you know, even Jesus' own words are changed in the Bible? Why are these changes allowed to happen? Are they there to make us aware that something's happening in this reality that we're living in? Or what is the reason for all these changes? I keep wondering, you know, what's the motivation?
Right, and it doesn't make any sense. And I'll say that in Conway, South Carolina, there's a stretch of, it's a highway 701, and it goes between the city and it goes directly up to the town of Loras. And if you go down highway 701, It used to be there were trees and houses on the left-hand side across the street from the Food Lion, the Dick's Pawn Shop, and my credit union. And then one day, there was nothing. All the land was cleared. All the trees were gone. All the houses were gone. And I just keep looking at it to this day, and I say, there is something wrong with this picture. I mean, it's like the houses, the trees were gone. Because I remember them. I remember seeing them. So, Professor Mulder, is that kind of the thing you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen similar things. Like I went to a town in Georgia where I grew up as a young boy, and I saw some of the houses that, you know, none of these streets have changed. I mean, we're talking about time to stop. It's a Mayberry RFD type of community, right? I looked at these houses, and again, they haven't been remodeled or anything like that. Some of them have just basically been abandoned, and they look entirely different the way I remember them. Entirely different. I don't know if that's just
wow.
a memory or if something actually happened.
Well, we will see. We will have far more discussions on this. Professor Mulder, thanks for being here behind door number 4. Kyler Smith, thanks for being here behind door number 3. Chris Chastain behind door number 2. And Matt Delph behind door number 1. It's been a wonderful time here talking about the Mandela Effect. We will have open lines next Thursday night. Lots of good topics. Invite your friends. Let's get them online and let's have a good time. So anyway, we just wanted to remind everybody the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference is going to be there. It's going to be in Burnsville, North Carolina June 17th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Be there. Come see Professor Mulder. Come see Chris Chastain and come see Matt Delph. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and thanks a lot, everybody, for being here. It's been great, and we'll see you next time on the one, the only ScaryCast. Everybody say goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Bye.